Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Carissos Daf Chaf Gimel, Carissos 23. And today's Daf Yomi and in Carissos Daf Chaf Gimel, our Gemara talks about one who eats the chelev of kodshim. He eats the forbidden fat of sacred food that became nosar. It became it remained beyond the time where it was supposed to be consumed on the altar. That if somebody eats such a thing, that a person is going to be liable for an asham me'ilos. And the Gemara talks about the situation where he ate what's called achila gasa. He ate a lot of it, and even though we say that this is prohibited to derive any benefit from it, so why is he going to be considered to be liable in this situation? And we say that it's not able to go up on the altar. Nevertheless, he's still going to be liable. And Rashi explains that the reason is because even though it can't go on the altar, it is still going to be considered ra'ay l'gvoah. It's still going to be considered fitting for the altar, because if it went up on the altar, if somebody would put it there, it wouldn't go down. We would leave it up there. And the later authorities commenting on Rashi went into great detail about this foundational point about this yesod of Rashi, that it's still called kodesh even though it's not allowed to go on the altar, but because it went on the altar, it doesn't come down. And they learn from here that we see that anything that is capable of going up on the altar is going to have a din of holiness. And so now we could say it's a kavah chomer. We say if something that is chelev shel nosar, which is prohibited to go up on the altar, and you're not allowed to bring it up even lechatchila on the altar, nevertheless, we say b'di'evit, if it goes up, it should not come down. We say the holiness has not departed from it. Nevertheless, so we should say the same thing by other things. Once something has the holiness in it, that it shouldn't lose its holiness. That's the basic idea. If it goes up on the altar, even though it wasn't supposed to go there, it shouldn't lose its holiness. So too, we should say this about something that was holy, that it lost its holiness, that it still will retain some of its holiness. Where is this relevant? This is relevant to the laws of Sefer Torah, of a Torah scroll. So the Rivash, writing in North Africa in the 15th century, writes in a controversial tshuva, he writes that a person can sell a Torah scroll, which generally is not allowed to sell, but if the Torah scroll was, if they found a mistake in the Torah scroll, or the Torah scroll was missing one letter, then you're allowed to sell it. And the reason is, even though typically speaking we can't sell a Torah scroll, under these circumstances we say the Rivash argued, since it was disqualified, there is going to be no holiness to this Torah scroll anymore, because it was missing the letter. And so therefore it's like it's not holy at all, it's just like it's a chumash and not like a Torah scroll. And so therefore, even though you can fix it and then it would be holy, we're saying at this point it's not going to be considered like the sanctity of a Torah scroll, and therefore it's permitted to sell it under those circumstances which a chumash could be sold. And so that was a controversy, that was a controversial position of the Rivash, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch rules that way in Or HaChaim Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, and also the Ramah rules that way, that you can sell a Torah scroll that has a mistake in it. However, comes along the Noda Yehuda, the chief rabbi of Prague, and the Noda Yehuda was asked by the ruler of Prague, he was asked if, according to the laws of the Torah, a person is allowed to swear falsely if he's holding a Torah scroll that, at the moment he takes his oath, is disqualified. There used to be the practice that when somebody had to take an oath, they would hold a Torah scroll. So the ruler asked the Noda Yehuda, let's say he's holding a Torah scroll that's not kosher. And maybe he's worried that a Jew is going to do a trick and hold a non-kosher Torah scroll and then take the oath. So first of all, the Noda Yehuda said, first of all, you're not allowed to swear falsely whether or not you're holding the Torah scroll. It doesn't matter, even if you're not holding any Torah scroll, you're not allowed to swear falsely, and it's a very, very great sin to swear falsely. And the only reason why we're holding the Torah scroll is in order to remind the person of the sanctity of the action of what they're doing. And so it's obviously the case that even though the Torah scroll that he's holding is missing a letter, it's going to be a very, very grave sin to lie under those circumstances. And so therefore, he then says, but on top of it, he says, I disagree with the tshuva of the Rivash, because he says, the Torah scroll, even though even though it's missing, even though it's possible and it's missing some letters, it's still going to have the holiness in it. And part of the explanation is part of the sources that some say is one of the bases for the Noda Behuda's argument is based upon this Gemara, that if something goes up on the Mizbeach and it was not supposed to be there, we say it's still holy. So too, we're going to say the Torah scroll, even though it was missing some letters, it retains its holiness, because otherwise, how could it ever become holy again? Then you would have to rewrite it. So it's clearly the case that the Noda Behuda is correct. It says the Noda Behuda that it's clearly the case that it's going to retain its holiness. And so therefore, even though the Torah scroll is missing a letter or a word, it's still holy because we can easily fix it. And otherwise, we'd have to rewrite the whole thing. And so therefore, the Noda Behuda argues that the Torah scroll that's missing its letter does not lose its holiness and cannot be sold. And indeed, the Chasam Sofer also argues with the Rivash. And he says, if a Torah scroll that's missing a letter doesn't have the sanctity of a Torah scroll, then if that would be the case, then no Torah scroll would ever be holy until we finish it. Ein Kol Yisrael, and if that would be the case, how could we retroactively give the sanctity to the Torah scroll? So we have to say that really there's no distinction, that the holiness of the Sefer Torah applies even if the Torah scroll is missing a letter or a word, or even if the Torah scroll is not yet completed, that it contains the sanctity. Otherwise, we would have to say retroactively it attracts all its holiness, and that's not something that Noda Behuda and the Chasam Sofer want to say.